Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. This week, we cover a topic that shouldn't need covering at all, but some people are determined to remain purposefully ignorant. So let's answer the question, why is there no cis pride? Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, a lady who already knows what she should and should not be proud of, Susan Bridges.
Hello.
Some of these are hard to do.
That was funny.
Thank you. Our guest this week is June Green, the Duchess of NoHo, a bog witch that has been haunting the Los Angeles suburbs for over a decade. When she isn't casting hexes or raising up an army of the damned, she freelances as a writer and general nerdy contributor. Her favorite food is olives. Her favorite movie is Little Monsters, and she has a cute little pet Piper named Piper. Welcome, June.
Thank you so much. It was so nice. You read all those things I asked you to say about me perfectly.
I did. Almost like I know what I'm doing. I can fool everyone.
Nailed it.
So how great is it that you're finally appearing on this show in June, which is also your name?
I love it. I love it. I also love that this might come out around my birthday. So that's a lot of fun too. So excited for it.
Okay. So how has the bog witch life been treating you? Because there's not many bogs in NoHo.
Poor, dry. Yeah. There's a real drought. The bog witch community is very concerned about water conservation in the San Fernando Valley. So that's something to be mindful of as we go into the summer. But I kid. Really, I just didn't know what to say about myself. I've been living in Los Angeles for 10 years, been in and out of all kinds of different geeky things. I've done all kinds of different sort of nerd adjacent things.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of just enjoying that and just being sort of nerd adjacent and focusing on my transition. That's the other thing.
Well, sure. What nerdy things are you super into?
As you can see in the video, unfortunately listeners can't tell, but I have a action figure collection that I
curate. It is magnificent and robust.
Thank you very much. This is only like maybe an eighth or a ninth of it.
Really?
Yeah, it's a problem.
Wow. Where do you keep them all?
So I'm one of those people where I keep them all in totes, in bags, labeled, and I keep a spreadsheet of which ones I have.
You
so
have
that
a
I have
spreadsheet
them
for your I love figures?
And
wow.
It's color-coded, it's coordinated, it has like times so things are going to launch and when things are going to get released and when they're going to come to me. So I don't know. It's just that's my passion. Right
I don't
now.
Think you get to call it nerdy adjacent when you have a spreadsheet for your action figures. That is
that's
full on nerd.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. And it is like a hobby. My friend asked me, he's like, what are you working on as a writer right now? And I'm like, spreadsheets, if I'm being honest, color coordinating spreadsheets, making sure that I have all the MOTU figures I need and all the X-Men. But yeah, I've done all kinds of stuff in this kind of like world. So I've written for Young Justice. I worked at several different comic book shops all over the city and all over the country. I've done Comic Cons. I've done all kinds of stuff.
I don't think I knew that you used to work at comic shops. That's really cool.
Yeah, actually, I used to work at a really popular one in Hollywood called Meltdown Comics.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I did know that. Okay. My brain is not here today.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah.
It's no longer there.
Yeah. Was it rough? Was it because like sometimes comics can be so bro-y, especially like certain shops, you know, like
to be honest, that was my first like personal one-on-one interaction with somebody who was trans.
Yeah.
And like, that's where my sort of education started because I grew up in the South where there was just no diversity at all. There's two options for diversity. And it wasn't until I finally moved out here and got out of that I got to meet different types of people and just learn different things and be introduced to like this option for me and what how this like impacted me. Because you hear, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about it, but you learn stuff about different social groups or different people, and you're like, yeah, that's good for you, but not for me. That's good for you, but not for me. And then finally coming across the trans community was like, that's what I had been looking for.
That's the one for me.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had the same thing growing up in the Midwest. I didn't the, like the options for diversity where you could be a short white cis man or a tall white cis man. Those were your two options,
Yeah.
right? So it like you didn't get to choose that either. So yeah, it was rough. So
And I mean, I don't mind saying it because, I had to live through it, but the South is still really racially divided.
Yes, it
I
is.
don't think I'm surprising anybody with this information, but especially in North Georgia where I grew up. And so it's so hyper focused on that singular division that you forget there's a whole world of options out there and people and ways of being and ways of interacting with a community and having a community even in the first place. It was really special.
That's fascinating.
Thank you.
Okay, so here we go. For you, what has been the best thing about transitioning?
Okay, I thought about this long and hard, and it's honestly the community that as I like I said, I've done a lot of different things. I've been in a lot of different arenas, met a lot of different people and a lot of different groups, and it really wasn't until I came out to myself and then started finding the trans community that I really started to feel like this is where I belong. And people understand me, and people have gone through the same things that I have gone through externally or internally. And we that bond is so deep that it beats any time in my life I ever tried to get into something.
No, that's true. I mean, I feel that a lot too, because like for me especially, I don't have any connection to my past. I don't know where my ancestors are from. So I can't even be like, oh, people that are from Germany are my people because my people are from Germany. That's where I'm from. I don't know. I don't have anything. So when I found the trans community, that was the first thing in my life I'd ever felt like this is a place where I belong. These are my people. You understand me. I understand you. We're in this together, and it's really special.
I think for me it was more like the group I was in felt so uncomfortable, not only being, labeled as a boy or mask or whatever, but also being in the South and being white. That's a privilege you can't escape, and so it just makes it difficult to be lumped in with that and to know truly in your heart that that's not who you are, but that's not how people just see you just because of where you're located.
Absolutely.
So I got out of Dodge.
I'm glad you did. Okay, so on the other side of that, what's been the worst or most difficult part of transitioning for you?
Honestly, it's the medical stuff.
Yeah.
If I'm being completely honest, and I do kind of want to represent people who have phobias,
Sure.
but as somebody who dodged going to the doctors a lot growing up, being trans and going on HRT means you do have to visit the doctor. You do have to go to the endocrine. There
Yeah.
are needles involved. There are blood tests involved. And I have a very specific phobia that's tied to a trauma with needles that I am working through with a therapist, which is really nice. But
Yeah.
it does not make those days any easier.
Right.
And there is a sort of cost to admission, I suppose.
Yeah.
Granted, that not. The amount of HRT or even being on HRT isn't what makes you trans, but I
Sure,
think a
of
lot of
course.
us want it
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
feel amazing on it. And I'm one of those people that just feel night and day different, 100%
Yeah,
difference in
life
my
changing.
life, like literally life changing.
Yep.
Yes, literally life changing. And to get that, I have to face this really big fear. And it's kind of odd to talk about because so many of us do injections.
Yeah,
And
I do. And it was really hard to switch to. And I still struggle with it sometimes.
it's like a normal part of our lives, a normal part of your life, And for me, it's this like horrible event that happens once or twice a year that I have to like mentally recover from and build up to. And it just takes a toll on me. And again, it's more of that privilege, if I didn't want to do this, if I didn't need to do this, then I could live comfortably in my phobia. But I'm choosing to stretch my boundaries to save myself.
Yeah, because you're a hero.
Thank you
But
very much.
yeah, no, because even if you're on like pills or patches, you still have to get the blood test to just, see where your levels are, make sure everything's okay. And so that can be really tough. And, I never thought, I kind of had a needle phobia too, and I never thought I could ever give myself injections. I was like, if I ever, I used to say that if I ever had to give myself like injections to survive, I would just die because I didn't think I could do it. Like that's the point I was at. And there's a whole episode of this show, an essay about trans motivation and how once the pills stopped working for me, which can just happen sometimes, I had no option because I need my HRT. I need it so badly to just be myself, to live, to survive. And so I didn't have a choice. I had to find a way to deal with it and get over it. And I never thought I could. And it's still hard and I still struggle and it's not easy. But it's a thing that we're still constantly working through because we have to. We don't have that choice, So
Yeah, I feel like if I had to go to the injections, like a blow dart situation would probably be the best. Like if I could
I
just be like
wish that
walking
would
through
be
my
a service
apartment
I
and
would
someone just
sign
like
up
thunk,
for.
yeah.
Yeah. Just hit me sometime today. Don't tell me when it's coming. It'll be
Yeah, you could just
perfect.
have Susan pop up from behind the couch and just thunk, right in your thigh.
I
And
love
you're like,
this.
oh, it's over.
We need to
Okay,
implement
cool.
this
I feel
service
great.
for needle phobic trans people nationwide, worldwide.
Can I wear a safari outfit?
I wish you would.
Oh, you need a pith helmet. Yeah, you need a pith helmet. You need a safari jacket like Wonder Man wore in the 70s.
I would
Like,
look great.
You would.
I would.
This is so good.
you're hunting the most dangerous game, Tilly Bridges.
Yeah, watch out. I'll get you.
Oh, wow, Tilly.
Okay, before we get into this week's topic, do you want to let folks know where they can find more about June online after listening?
Sure. I'm on Instagram. On it's at Saint underscore June underscore Bloom, but I don't really ever post anything or talk about much that much. So I would suggest following somebody else or spending your time following other media, to be honest.
Or people can join the Tillyverse Discord server, which
Yes.
you are a member of.
Yes, actually, yes, that is the thing that I would want to promote the most is when I found my community, I found it in the Tillyverse. Truly,
Yeah.
I didn't find it on a message board. I didn't find it at a club or anything like that. And not that there's anything wrong with that, or, but I found my group in the Tillyverse.
Sure.
And that's where I've made some truly like lifelong, deep friends, like
Yeah.
that I will be friends with for the rest of my life. And I've seen outside of the state. I see every weekend. I'll probably see them this weekend too. And I've had friends in Los Angeles, but I've never had a crew like this, like a
Yeah.
group.
Yeah.
And when I see us all in pictures, I just get so happy because I'm just like, look at that. It's you have a friend group, like
Yeah.
you found a friend group out here. Like this is amazing,
Yeah, most of that group came to our short film screening and we got a selfie together and it was
Yes.
really cool.
Yeah, I know. I felt like we looked like the Sailor Scouts because like each one of us was there and our own little personalities and everything. I loved it.
Yeah, it's really good. All right. Listen, I've got to tell you, I wasn't even sure how to approach this topic because it's so blindingly obvious to me that it almost defies explanation. But these episodes are here to educate, to help people find community, to maybe give trans, non-binary, and queer people something to point to when you need an explainer for someone and aren't sure how to word it. And so here I am trying to word it because I'm a writer and my job is words. I don't believe that this is going to sway anyone who's a bigot through and through because they look for excuses to justify their hate. They didn't logic, science, or facts their way into hate because you can't. Science has a very real liberal bias for a reason, babes. And so logic, science, and facts aren't going to logic anyone out of their hate. But there are cishet folks out there who genuinely don't know or who have heard all the anti-trans and anti-queer propaganda and aren't sure what to believe. So I'm going to approach this by trying to speak to those who genuinely don't know and want to understand in the hopes those are the exact people I can reach and help. It can seem to some folks who are cisgender, heterosexual, white, and usually men that if trans and queer people and women and black people and on through people whose identities have been marginalized by society, get days, weeks, or months to celebrate them, to be proud of their identities. Cisgender and heterosexual people, and men and white people, should have days to celebrate themselves too, right? Why don't they? I'm going to approach this from the trans angle, as I do for all of these episodes, because these are Trans Tuesdays, but note that it applies to basically every marginalized community in the United States and Europe and beyond in similar ways. And if you aren't aware of how everyone from a marginalized community has more in common than not, and how we all have to be fighting not just for ourselves, but also for each other if we ever want to see progress, let episode 10 of this show on trans intersectionality enlighten you. Before we dive into explaining why there's no cis pride, I wanted to ask you, June, if you have run into this phenomena out in the wild, especially during Pride Month.
Actually, I'm surprised because I thought there was a straight pride parade. I thought it was St. Patrick's Day. Zing, got him. Yes, absolutely. I have, you know, like I said, I grew up in the South, so I've heard the reverse racism argument my entire life.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I've heard the comparisons between the Klan and the Black Panthers, which is just not an apt comparison.
Not even close.
Yeah. So I'm very familiar with this argument, this sort of armchair take on things.
Did it always like just frustrate you? Like to the point where you're like, why do you even need someone to tell you if this is such an obvious thing?
Yeah, especially with the parade. And I'm, you know, just to be a little funny about it, but like, it's a parade. Like, you're welcome to watch the parade.
Right.
You're welcome to celebrate us as well. You're not excluded. You're not forced away at gunpoint. So if you want ticker tape, you can absolutely be part of it. It's that hatred or that sort of fear that I think drives people to this segregating themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you encountered it as a cis person? I mean, you're still obviously very white like me, but so like, have you heard people out there doing that crap?
I mean, I've definitely been in a place where I was with like other white women.
Yeah.
And were just like, you know, I don't have privilege because I had problems in my life.
Yes.
And like, I think at the time I was so surprised I didn't say anything because it like took me a minute for my brain to realize what it said.
Yeah.
And then the conversation just kind of moved on. But I think like when that happened, that was like a big, kind of a big moment for me where I'm like, oh, I'm surrounded by people who are stupid.
They really don't get it.
Like, so I was like, okay, I need to learn more about this.
Sure.
Because if I'm in this situation again, I don't want to be silent because I
right.
didn't mean to be silent. I just didn't even know how to react to that because I didn't realize how prevalent it was.
That people could be that blind to what privilege it actually is.
Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't mean never having any struggles.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's the sort of like delineation that like more white people could benefit from, if I'm just being honest. It's not
yeah.
like what happened to you or your problems don't matter or don't count or negated. It's just right now we're focusing on this and you should not
yeah.
take the spotlight away from this. And it's not
yeah.
your time. And frankly,
exactly.
it might not have been that bad as 200, 300, 500 years of whatever terrible thing has happened to an entire group of people.
Yeah.
There's a balance.
Right.
There's a difference yeah. between the two sort of traumas.
Right. We're going to get into that in a little bit. The first thing I think you need to understand, if you don't already, is that trans people are not new. We're not a fad. We're not a social contagion. Although the more of us who are out and happy in our lives does make other closeted trans people believe they can do it too. And that's why Republicans and conservatives are working so hard to erase us from public life. Our very existence proves the cis binary, aka the false dichotomy, as I talked about in episode 11, is a lie. Trans people have always existed since the concept of assigned genders at birth has existed. Check out episode 79, Trans History, for more on how and why we need to uncover, spot, and name trans people in history so this very thing becomes common knowledge. In episode 80, Trans History 2, for examples of trans people in history, and episode 107, Trans History 3, for even more examples of trans people in history, from the Trans History from Ancient Times to the Present Day graphic novel by Alex L. Combs and Andrew Eckett. It's a great book you should check out. There is a link in the show notes.
And the authors are just adorable, lovely people.
They're so cute and sweet.
They're so cute.
Yes. So why is knowing all of this trans history important to understanding why there's no cishet pride month? Gosh, do I ever have an answer for you, friendos? It's because you, sadly, cannot separate trans history from the way we have been oppressed by society throughout all of that history. We have been discriminated against. We have been removed or hidden from history. We have often been the very first targets of fascist regimes simply because, again, we prove the cisgender binary is a lie, which is what all of white supremacist ideology is founded on. And once you see that lie, say it with me. I've said it so many times, and I know you know what's coming. You can see all the other lies society tells us. And we see that happening again and again right now, especially in the US and the UK. So obviously so that I don't even need to link you to any news stories about it because there are hundreds of them everywhere you look and more direct oppression of trans people is happening every day. But it is also not just the horrible outright fascists doing this because even when purportedly liberal people are running our government, they still uphold so many of the systems of oppression that so many of us face. Listen to Trans Trauma 2, Societal Gaslighting, in episode 95 of this podcast for more on that. Sometimes that's because those quote-unquote liberal politicians are also actively transphobic, like the long denial that trans and queer people were also forced into concentration camps during World War II, and also how when the Allies liberated the camps, they left the trans and queer people in the effing camps. Multiple links on that in the show notes if you're completely unfamiliar with that bit of historical horror. But just as often, if not possibly more so, it's because of the implicit transphobia they absorbed simply by virtue of being raised in our transphobic society. Check out episode 57, Implicit Queer Phobia, for more. Many of them uphold the false cisgender binary matrix of society without even realizing that's what they're doing. And if you want to learn a whole lot more about what that does to us trans people and even to the cis people who uphold our oppression without realizing, see The Matrix and its trans allegories talked about in episode 26 of this show and my book, Begin Transmission, The Trans Allegories of The Matrix. Yeah, my book, woo, link in the show notes. But also, trans oppression isn't just limited to the US or UK and Europe, of course. There's an article about the history of worldwide trans oppression in the show notes. There's also an article in the show notes about the history of oppression of trans and queer people have faced in the United States alone, which includes some startling facts, including that more than half of us, 51%, have faced violence because of who we are. And in the show notes, there's a timeline of trans and queer rights throughout American history, going back to the founding of this country by colonialists who committed genocide and enslaved people, and how it's been baked into this country since white Europeans arrived. And there's an article in the show notes about the history of trans and queer people organizing and pushing for rights and equality in the United States. Okay, so now take in all that I've said so far and the information contained in all the linked essays and articles. Are you maybe now realizing how incredibly oppressed trans people have been for as long as the United States has existed? Okay, Jean, you got into this a little bit when we were talking before about trans history, but growing up, did you ever hear anything about a single trans person in history? Did you hear about trans people at all?
You know, surprisingly, in North Georgia, no. Yeah. I think that might have been cut from the budget. You know, we just ran out of time. We spent so many months on the Civil War that there's just no time for any other history of any other time in history.
Well, that was all about states' rights, as we know.
Oh, well aware. Sure.
Yeah.
I heard about it.
Have you encountered these people who think that trans people are new, that we're just some fad?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I also see like how people, I mean, my first exposure to a trans person was the notoriously awful Ace Ventura ending.
Yeah.
And had my mom explain it to me. And, you know, that felt awful.
It felt so bad.
Yeah. And all the years after that, every sort of like just not seeing yourself hurts.
Or only seeing yourself in the way like movies like Ace Ventura perpetuate you, you know, with horrible, horrible stereotypes that are so harmful.
And I think, too, it's like, well, this is the body you were born into. This is who you have to be because this is how the world sees you is a big thing for me.
Yeah,
I had this responsibility and this duty to be a white guy.
Yeah.
And that messed with me so bad. Because just not who I was. And I felt like I was drafted into something that I didn't sign up for. And I just got swept away. So yeah, I've definitely encountered this in my life.
Yeah, it's a
Yeah.
mess, and I
It's a
felt the
total
same
mess.
way. It's a total mess. And I've said before too on the show that I think Ace Ventura alone set me back years in figuring myself out because it affected me so deeply. It was so awful. It's
Absolutely.
terrible.
And I would say too, just any time there was like ever a joke, on a cartoon of like, hey, let's dress up. Haha, it's funny that I dress up like a girl. Like after a while, like the first maybe once or twice, you're like, okay, I get it, Bugs Bunny. But after a while, it's like, man, this is a pattern. This is easy writing. And you know this too, as a TV writer, it's easy writing, it's hacky writing. It's the worst. And that
It
sort of
is.
and so not even having good representation, and I know we'll talk about this more, but it really can affect people.
It really does, and it still permeates our media today, as you can hear in all of my transmedia annual reports that I do. The oh
Absolutely.
look, a perceived boy doing something that is feminine or girlish is a joke, always, over and over and over again, and it's still everywhere. In 2025, it's ridiculous.
Yes.
Okay, so when we have Pride Month, which can be complicated and difficult sometimes due to how implicitly queerphobic our society is, see Rainbow Capitalism in episode 23 of this show for more. When we have Trans Day of Visibility, which is for all of us see, yes, you are trans enough in episode 13 of this show, what are they really about? They're about trans and queer people being proud to be who we are. Specifically because society tells us that who and what we are is a bad thing to be. It is us standing up in the face of oppression and saying, you cannot change me. You cannot force me to hide. You cannot make me deny the truth of who I am. We deserve equal rights because there is nothing wrong with being who we are. So, cisgender person listening to this, heterosexual person listening to this, white person listening to this, men listening to this, think about when was the last time you were oppressed by all of society, even the quote unquote good people, because of being cisgender, because of being heterosexual, because of being white, because of being a man. The true answer to that is never, because our entire society revolves around saying that white, cisgender, heterosexual men are the best thing there is. Literally everything in our society, as built and established by white, cisgender, heterosexual men, is set up to affirm you in who you are. You specifically didn't set up society this way, of course, but you do benefit from it. And that is the literal definition of privilege. See the cis privilege essay at tillystranstuesdays.com for more, though it will be coming to the podcast eventually. White, cisgender, heterosexual men are celebrated for who they are by all aspects of our society every single day. And it also breaks down further than that because all white people, even those of us who experience other marginalizations, like me as a very white trans woman, are privileged to not face the barriers Black people and every person of color faces. All cisgender people, even those who experience other marginalizations like women, are privileged to not face the barriers every trans and non-binary person faces. All heterosexual people, even those who experience other marginalizations like women, are privileged to not face the barriers that every gay, lesbian, bi, or person of other non-heterosexual orientation faces. All men, even those who experience other marginalizations like being gay, are privileged to not face the barriers that women and people of every other gender face. Okay, so we also touched on this a little bit before June, but what was it like for you waking up to the ways that your own privilege both changed and stayed the same once you came out as trans?
The way it shifted for me was there's a lot of things you can get away with when you're presenting as a white guy. There really is. And I think the biggest one that I caught on to was my interaction with the police. My entire life had always been positive. I had never had a bad interaction with the police, even when they pulled me over for something stupid like a busted taillight, when I was in high school or something. They were still like really, really nice to me. And I walked away from that interaction like, you know what? They're not so bad. And how that interaction is just not the same for anybody who didn't look like me once the cop got to the window. And then having transitioned now, I feel like law enforcement kind of look at me side eye with that sort of like, here comes trouble. Here comes Antifa, walking down the street. And as it, my opinion has never really changed about the police or law enforcement or anything like that, but my interactions have absolutely changed.
Yeah. It's so strange because like I think I've also said this example on this show a few times before, but when I would be in meetings or talking with people pre-transition, I was never talked over. I was never interrupted. I was never had
Yes, that's
people
a big
steal my
one.
ideas and repeat them back to me as if they were theirs. But the week I came out, all of those things happened to me in like one of the first meetings I was in because I was being seen as a woman, which again, great, but also, yeah, treat women better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the euphoria, right? Well, you see me as a woman at least, but yikes, in a bad way.
Yeah, I've definitely experienced that in the workplace too, where it's like now it's like, oh, well, congratulations. We see you for who you are, which is
Yeah.
just 5% less. And which it
Yeah.
doesn't feel great. But I also feel like for me, being my true self helps me navigate those things easier.
Absolutely does.
You
Yeah.
know, and it gives me the confidence to be able to interrupt or to say something or just to kind of clap back. In my job, my day job, I do work with a lot of difficult personalities.
In
And
LA? No.
no, right? In entertainment. And
Who
like
ever heard of that?
that sort of confidence to clap back at people doesn't come easy.
Yeah.
But that's
Yeah.
something that transitioning did because it's like, this is authentically me. And whatever you're going to tear me apart for, well, I'm proud of it. I have pride in who I am, my appearance, what I'm wearing, what I'm dressed as, how you see me. I'm in control of all these elements. You aren't.
Yeah, there's a whole episode about the ways confidence can shift after transition, but I don't have the episode number handy. Just go back and look, you'll find it. It's there. The title, it's confidence, it's right there. Well, if you still don't believe me, here's one of my favorite examples that I've used in some of my trans rep and media reports for 2022, 2023, and 2024, which were episodes 3, 52 to 54, and 97 to 99 of this show. Our art is a reflection of us as a society and who we think it's important to tell stories about and who we quote unquote allow to tell those stories. So let's take movies, that quintessential American art form. Name cishet white men who are heroes of huge movies and franchises. Here's some: James Kirk, Luke Skywalker, Jean-Luc Picard, Indiana Jones, Han Solo, Superman, Batman, Captain America, Thor, the Hulk, Spider-Man, John Wick, Mad Max, James Bond, and the list goes on and on and on and on. You could keep going almost literally all day long. Now, do the same simply for cishet white women. Wonder Woman, Black Widow, Ripley, Furiosa, Princess Leia, Rey, Katniss Everdeen, and I'm already struggling to think of them, even though I know there are more. But now do the same for cishet black men, cishet black women. Now try it for gay white cis men and women, gay black cis men and women. Now try it for trans people of any variety. Were you able to name any? This shows you exactly who our society values most, who it thinks is worth telling stories about, who it thinks is worth quote unquote letting tell their stories by nurturing, supporting, and paying them to do so. So we also hit on this a little bit earlier with Ace Ventura, June, but did you have this moment where it really hit you how sparse to non-existent good trans rep is in our popular media?
Absolutely. And I think even more so than just trans representation, it's just a variety of representation.
Yeah.
I always tell people the story of like how I saw myself growing up, you know, with superheroes and kids, you know, cartoon shows and the things
Yeah.
we all loved in the 80s and 90s was there was usually three white guys. There was a guy with black hair, a guy with blonde hair, and a guy with red hair.
Yep.
There was a person who was brown, usually a black person, and then a girl with the power of
The
girl.
girl.
Yeah. And her power
Yes.
was pink. And
Yep.
making sandwiches or something terrible. And it wasn't until I watched Sailor Moon as a kid that I was like, oh, that I'm actually seeing myself represented in these characters because they're not just girl.
Right.
It's not just Sailor Moon. It's all the different ones. So if you're tall, if you're athletic, if you're angry, if you're, you know, really girly, if you're really into pretty stuff, like there was somebody for you. And that to me is real representation. It's not just having Black Panther. It's having Miles Morales and Photon and Blade and Luke Cage and anybody else.
Right. That's the problem with tokenism, is then that one person has to represent their entire community. And no one character can be everything to everybody, right? You need
Exactly.
that variety, that diversity, that inclusion of all these different beautiful ways that humans can be.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Have your rights ever been debated by the Supreme Court as if they were things maybe you just shouldn't have even though you're a human? No? A clearer example you'll never find of who this country oppresses. Pride Month isn't about denying you anything, because Pride Month isn't about you. Every other month, week, day, hour, and minute is about you. There's no cis Pride Month, no hetero Pride Month, no white history month, no men's Pride Month, because those people have already set up all of our society so that every single month is already all of those things. There is an International Men's Day, though, even though you arguably don't need it. Enjoy it. Link in the show notes. Our society also has a long history of telling trans people things are not for us, even when they are made by us. See This Is Not For You at TillysTransTuesdays.com for how a whole lot of cranky babies simply cannot comprehend that two trans women might have made a movie about transness. You don't need to be ashamed of your identity because of how you were born or are, but there's also no reason to be proud to be cisgender in this society because all of it says that is what you are and should be and is all there is. You are living as what society has errantly deemed as quote-unquote default. Listen to episode 30, Cis is Not a Slur, There is No Default Human, to learn more, please. By virtue of who we trans people happen to be, we had to overcome all that society throws in our way to stop us, to oppress us, to hide us, to remove us. And we refused. We stood up for who we are, and we said we matter too. That is what Pride Month is about. That is why there's no cisgender pride. We have to fight just to get the same rights and treatment that you have never, ever been denied. Thank you for being here, June.
Of course. I'm happy to do it.
Cis friends, please remember that it's okay if not everything is about you. And it can be tough to come to terms with that when all of society has told you for your entire life that everything is all about you and that's how it should be. But please try to realize how wrong that is and how all humans deserve equal human rights. And for the love of pizza, take it into your heart one more time. Pride Month isn't about you, and that is okay. Tilly Bridges, end transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at TillysTransTuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky and on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, and you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of TillysTransTuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at birdguestbroadcast.com. If you enjoy this show, please take a moment to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. The largest segment of our listeners find the show there, and more reviews equals a higher profile, which means it will reach more of the people who need it. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening. Okay, so if you still don't believe me, I'm going to stop because there's a garbage truck outside. Do-do-do-do, waiting for the garbage truck to go away.
You just made up a song.
I did. It's what I do.